I'm Kay Lanning Minshew. I'm director of the Troup County Archives in LaGrange, Georgia. I've, for the last two or three years, been co-chairing COSA's Local Government Archives Task Force. Serving on the task force with me are several people from around the country, but include Virginia Fritch and Lisa Johnston, our speakers today. And so we're going to be talking about one of the programs that we have available on COSA's website that you can download and use to help you convince your local governments or local governments in the area about the need for doing local government archives and records management programs. I'm going to go ahead and introduce Virginia and Lisa at the start, and they'll do their presentation, and then we'll have time for questions afterwards. The session is being recorded, so when you ask questions, we'll try to repeat them and all those good things. Virginia Fritch is public records archivist at the Wisconsin Historical Society. And do y'all say slash state archives or just function as state archives?
We are the designated state archives as well.
So they're doing both. She has degrees from the University of Wisconsin at Madison with a Master of Library and Information Science. For the last 19 years, she's worked in a variety of capacities at Wisconsin. She's currently specializing in the records of local government, working with them to manage their records, their active records, and then transferring the inactive records to state archives. She's responsible for all archival functions, including local records at the Wisconsin Historical Society, including appraisal, acquisitions, processing, and reference assistance. Lisa Johnston is the assistant city clerk for the city of Artesia, New Mexico. Her responsibilities include records management, minutes preparation, ordinance codification, and other duties as assigned. She's conducted programs on records management for municipal clerks and other government officials. And she serves as a member of the New Mexico Historical Records Advisory Board, and she's been on our Closest to Home Task Force. She's currently a member of NAGARA's Intergovernmental Relations Committee and serving as chair of the Records Management Committee for IIMC, the International Institute of Municipal Clerks. She has a degree from the University of Arizona. So I'm delighted to welcome you and welcome Virginia to the podium.
Or the chair here.
Or the chair. So
can everyone hear me? Okay, great. I feel like I'm preaching to a cavern or something. Last year when we presented the program, it was a very small room with low ceilings, and it was like more of an intimate chat, but we'll try to make this somewhat informal, but yet informative. This morning, we'd like to talk about some of the products of the Closest to Home project. I'll give some background about how we got to this point and where we're going to go from there. We'll talk about the PowerPoint presentation. Lisa and I will tag team and go back and forth and show you what you can do with this and customize it for your own local needs. Lisa has taken this PowerPoint out on the road and presented it a few times, so she'll talk a little bit about what she did with that, what kind of reaction and response she got, which I think will lead nicely into open discussion about, you know, your ideas for how we can cast the need for helping local records, how we can rephrase this, tricks, techniques, ideas, approaches that you think may work to reach our resource allocators to have them pay more attention to local records. And I'll talk a little bit about some of the other projects of the project and, you know, if there's anything else that we want to talk about. And, of course, we'll open it to questions. The Closest to Home project began in 2006 under the Local Government Archives Task Force of COSA, supported by a grant from NHPRC. The task force set out to identify issues and problems relating to the identification and preservation and use of the nation's local government archival records, and then to devise some strategies for improving their care and management. The task force held a number of open meetings, conducted some online surveys, organized three expert panels, which were really a key in formulating our recommendations. The expert panels were archivists who deal with local records, people who use local records, genealogists, local historians, and other folks, local officials as well. And our expert panels served as a sounding board to make sure we were on the right track and addressing reality is a good way to put it, I think. Our objective was to provide a basis for action. The task force would make some recommendations, a basis for action that makes a difference in improving the state of local records in the future. The task force produced several products, one of which is a case statement on the value of local records.
They should have picked up a copy of that in the back.
Okay, good. The case statement, you know, is making the case, you know, to stakeholders about the value of local records archives, emphasizing why they're important and why they are a priority. And the brochure was aimed at a very wide, broad audience. We had to do it that way. We wanted to aim it at officials, users, and citizens, all within several pages. We tried to use compelling stories about how local records affect our daily lives and our personal lives, our business lives, lives of individual citizens and communities, so that we could convey the message that these are important. The case statement revolves around three key questions. What are local records? Why should I care about them? Why should I care about them now? Why we need archival programs? What can I do? And where they can find more information? So we tried to address this in almost personal terms, providing examples and suggestions about where you can find local records. We try to impart a sense of urgency. Next disaster could be just around the corner. Neglect is equally destructive, and digital records are particularly vulnerable. We try to make the case for establishing archival programs, a summary of why they're an asset to the local governments themselves and to the communities. And then we suggested action steps for custodians and citizens, and also some website information where you can see more information and products. Well, I think along with this, we also produced a poster. I mean, it's a little poster on the website. You can go to the website. It's available in PDF. You can blow it up to a larger size. Some of the task force members have printed it off on 11x17 poster stock and sent it out. It's really a handy thing that hopefully people can stick on the side of their file cabinet on their wall. And Vicki, do we have bookmarks too? That kind of.
Oh, yes, I'm sorry, we didn't think to bring any other banner.
Yeah. Stop at the COSA table to pick up some bookmarks. Whenever we go to meetings, people always like free handouts, so it's a good opportunity.
I've been telling people that you should consider the bookmark. It gives you those 30-second sound bites you need about why records matter, because if you get hit with those kind of questions, you need something that you can remember quickly so that the phrases on the bookmark, pick out two or three that really resonate with you, and those can be kind of your stock answers when somebody asks you. So it's kind of like the commercial in a bookmark.
Yeah. So let me start by rolling out the PowerPoint presentation here. We've been working on this for almost 2 years now and tweaking it and improving it as we go. The key element here is that there are slides inserted here or places bookmarked where you can insert slides that pertain to your particular situation. And you'll see this as we go along. We'll definitely point out those opportunities for you to customize this.
Because this is a kind of a basis for what you can do, one of the things we did was any place that you can put in information of your own, we've highlighted it in red.
Just kind of go close that little. Yeah, you got to go up there.
Again, just keep in the back of your mind that the purpose of this PowerPoint is to educate stakeholders about the value of local government archives, including why they are important and why they are a priority. Okay, just want to keep it awake here.
Yeah.
All right, great. The presentation is heavy on the photos and graphics because they certainly keep people's attention.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Next time we'll do that.
Thank you. So we have some photos here of several examples of local government records. Ah, now I can put cancel here.
Any place that you see a photo that we've used, you could come back in and, you know, that's the beauty of a PowerPoint is you could actually place something of your own in there just so that it would make it more relevant to the audience you're talking to, bring it home. One of the things I find is that people go, yeah, you know, those, they have old records back in the East, you know, the since I'm from New Mexico. Well, you know, we have towns in our, Santa Fe is getting ready to celebrate its 400th anniversary, so I think we've got some pretty old records in New Mexico, too. But they think, oh, those old records live in other places. So the more you can personalize it to your situation, I think the better this is going to work for you in making the case.
And that was kind of fun in putting together this PowerPoint was to look for the photos that illustrate the points. And it's always nice when you can say, you know, this is an example of an indenture document from your county showing some names that maybe are common in the locality, just, you know, making it personal. So it gives an overview of the presentation. It kind of mirrors the case statement, plus, in addition to that, laying out the elements of what a good archival program is, why we need archival programs, different models and elements of a good program. I mean, you can tell them that this is a good thing, it's necessary, but really, what does that mean in terms of what's your goal? What are you shooting at? How can I think about resources necessary to establish a program? This defines local records. You can give your own examples, including active record series, to illustrate that they just aren't old records, which is very common. People think, oh, those old things. No, they're things that are being created today. I used naturalization records as an example here of local government archives because everybody has these. Everybody can trace back their ancestors to some point coming to the country. And naturalization records are some good examples. Some more examples of local records. They're not just paper, all the different formats.
This is one of the inserted slides. Throughout this particular presentation, if you see something with a turquoise heading, that's one of the slides that I've inserted. And I gave this presentation to the International Institute of Municipal Clerks in May. So I tried to target record series to the kinds of records that I knew a clerk's office had. Now, every clerk's office varies across the country. Some have more, some have less, but they almost all have these. So I wanted to point this out to them because if you don't realize what your record series are that are archival, you don't realize that you need to be protecting them. So this was just an example for them to start getting them thinking about, oh, yes, we do have those kinds of records in our office that are being created daily.
And this, too, is a good opportunity to substitute a photo of your institution. Often administrators really aren't clear what archives means, that it's also a building as well as the records that you're creating. This section of the PowerPoint, again, the PowerPoint is structured to parallel the case statement, those five key questions. So the PowerPoint at this point goes into why I should care about them, and then as we go on, it fleshes out each of these elements that are listed: protecting rights, improving identity, and all those points. Documenting personal lives. Again, certificates of marriage are something that everyone has. Census records are really great for identity. Also, more modern records illustrate this point as well. Lack of attention to proper maintenance and administration. This is an area that I tend to talk about more when I'm speaking to local officials, talking about redacting information, making sure that those records with personal identification are secure and safeguarded. Also involving digital records, accidentally posting digital records on the web with this sort of information. Risk management, I hate to put it this way, the threat of lawsuits, but you know, litigation is something that local officials certainly pay attention to. And if you can illustrate that point of examples in your locality where perhaps a local government that will always remain anonymous got into some sort of legal trouble from identity theft or some sort of legal entanglement. And then the next few slides expand on that question, why I should care. It goes through all the arguments that we all know so well. And finally, this is a little different than the last time I remember, Lisa.
Sorry, I added some slides. This one I stuck it in just to kind of pride in organization, particularly if you're talking to local government officials. You know, they're going to be more interested in how they're represented, how they're presented to the public at large. So this is just kind of an example of, you know, how would they want their office to be represented? You know, piles of boxes or, you know, nice, sleek things. So that, you know, all arguments are not going to work for all officials, but you might try different combinations. So this was just one thought, you know, how would you like your office, how do you want people to remember your office? So
yeah, that's great. This kind of summarizes it. Efficient government, good public policy, and a sound investment, which I know is maybe a difficult sell in these economic times. But as Lisa notes here, you may want to include more examples of making the business case, examples of saving money by focusing on the vital records, saving money for disposing of records when it's time.
Saving office space by working through the records that are transitory or short-term retentions. You know, anything that you can, any kind of hook that you can reach out to them and say, hey, doing this, if you do regular routine records destruction, then you're not having to dig the needle out of the haystack. You've gotten rid of most of the hay, and so you're only left with this little pile here of the really good stuff. So,
And, you know, sometimes this boils down to a matter of risk management, too, which is a very, very powerful argument, I think.
And difficult to make sometimes. I've been trying to work with our state risk management person for our municipal insurances. And because I think if I can really get into him, and he can actually make the point better than I can. So I'm still working on him, but one of these days maybe I'll have a success there. Ah, this is one of my slides. The concept is that local governments fund those pressing needs. I can tell you that no elected official has gotten elected for saying, I have protected the records of my community. They always get elected for saying, I'm going to fix the pothole on Main Street. So we have to make them understand that there is an importance to the records and how it benefits them by taking care of them. So where there's an importance, there'll be money.
Another argument to make, too, is avoiding negative publicity. And, you know, again, you don't want to scare people, but on the other hand, I think we can all think of examples in our own states where negligence of records has led to some serious problems, improper disposing of records, records showing up on eBay then, all kinds of things can happen, and avoiding negative publicity, you really don't need to have that. So again, a risk management point to make. And again, the risk management angle of this.
Here's an example that I use in New Mexico. It's from several years ago, but it still resonates for the people there. We had a county that actually had to pay fines because they were found to be guilty of the Sunshine Law in our state, the Inspection of Public Records Act. So when you can start putting dollars to that, so as those things happen in your areas, capture the newspaper article so that you've got it, because the thing is, people's memories, they remember, but their memories are short. So if you can show them that article and say, look, you know, they had to pay $13,000. Well, $13,000 doesn't sound like a lot of money, but, you know, in today's budgets, $13,000 that means you can't do something else. You've got to spend that money. So that's a good way to help make your point, too, is if you've got some headlines. And these are the kind of headlines no government official wants to have.
Right. And, you know, a lot of problems are swept under the rug or it's anecdotal evidence, but a newspaper article like this, it's there in black and white. It's no rumor about some secret rumor about some county pitching their records in the fire accidentally type thing. So I think that's a really powerful hook. And then we want to hit on the cultural aspect, institutional memory. Just the altruistic good of doing this. And most local officials work very hard. They care about their records. They're very dedicated. But they're also just overwhelmed with work, responsibilities, and everything. And they want to do the right thing. They really do if they can. So I think that kind of addresses that point. So we try to remind them about the community's history, civic pride, the educational aspect of the past. And, you know, if you can get school groups into your archives, your local archives, just giving them a tour or working with the teachers to use the records for papers and stuff, word will spread. Archival programs help the economy, and I know that Helen Tibble is doing a survey of institutions that have local records. One of the weeks this fall is going to be dedicated for people coming into the local archives or any of the institutions that want to sign up to participate and have their patrons fill out a survey indicating how much, how far they've traveled, you know, have they gone to a restaurant in the area, about how much money they're spending to in the community to, you know, as a byproduct of them doing their research. So once that survey is done, I think we'll have some numbers and dollars that we can point to next year.
That's another hook for additional dollars. For example, and I'm going to use New Mexico a lot because that's where I'm from, but many states have this as well. In New Mexico, we have something called lodger's tax. So the additional money you pay on a hotel room goes into a collective pot, and then that money is redispersed for to bring more people back in. So the idea is it's the heads in beds concept. And what they do is they can use that money then for advertising for special events. They can also, in New Mexico, they can also use it for the upkeep and expansion of facilities that bring people in. So if we have some metrics that say, you know what, this archives brings X number of people in every year, and when they come in, they are spending X number of dollars in this community for food and lodging, etc., that starts becoming powerful. Now you have another, perhaps, allies. You have your Chamber of Commerce who might be able to help you support and encourage the preservation of records and keep the program going.
And a real key to a survey like that is going to be to do it for more than 1 year.
Yeah.
This year could be an especially low year. Who knows? Maybe more people are staying at home and it might be a high year. But it will be, we hope, doing it, whether we do it every year or every couple of years, but doing it over and over and being able to make the argument that for the last X number of years we brought in this much money spent elsewhere besides our archives.
One of the things we did with the task force was we actually had some consultants work on four different areas for us. Funding was one of the important ones, and through the funding report, one of the quotes that came out was that it really is important to not rely solely on grant money for funding and archives. You need to have some ownership in the organization. There needs to be some buy-in, and the first way that you get buy-in is through budget. We know that's difficult, but you know it can be very, very small amounts. For example, in my community, I started out asking for $500 a year for microfilming. I now have it up to 1,000, and my planning department has 1,000. While that's not exactly, you know, major, major bucks, I can get a lot done every year for $1,000. So, and I've been fortunate that those areas haven't been cut. So, it can, you know, you can just start really small and move forward.
Again, another point is accountability and access. And we all have different Sunshine Open Records laws. And, you know, this is an opportunity to talk a little bit about those in your locality. Again, the cultural aspect, tracing family roots, the education. And then, of course, there's disasters and neglect. And unfortunately, we've had a plethora of examples to choose from here. Some people may look at these slides and say, oh, you know, this is a hurricane. We're never going to have a hurricane in Iowa. Same thing with these sort of things. But it gives you an opportunity, too, to talk about the sorts of disasters that can hit your locality. In Wisconsin last spring, we had a lot of rain, and places that never experienced flooding before did. And also in Wisconsin, we have a number of tornadoes every spring, and those are totally random. No matter where you live in Wisconsin, it can happen to you. So some examples of disasters that perhaps have befallen your state would be useful here.
And if by some chance you can get pictures, there's nothing like a picture that really makes the case. So if you can get that local picture, start building your own little file of these kind of pictures. So even if they're several years old, you can say, okay, this is what happened in, you know, this is when the forest fire took out most of Los Alamos, or this is when Hatch, New Mexico had a flood. Now, Hatch, New Mexico is very, very dry. If you'd asked me 10 years ago, you know, what are the chances that Hatch is going to flood and have 6 foot of water through town, I'd have said practically none. Wrong. It does happen. So anytime you can use those kind of examples, it makes all the difference in the world.
And alas, you can just have a broken pipe, too.
Exactly.
So, well, and everybody has pipes. So.
Well, and if you have one of those, take a picture of it, you know, before you fix it, you know.
Yeah, and I think that's probably one of the most common disasters is broken pipes, and that can happen to anyone. I like this little picture of, I think it's called CD rot, isn't
yes,
it?
Yeah, it's CD rot. One of the things that comes with the PowerPoint is there is actually a full narrated script, so you don't have to just kind of make it up as you go along. We actually have dialogue for you to share if you want to, or use that as a starting point for what you're talking about. Virginia and I have worked with this enough that we're giving you the condensed version, but there's a whole story about that's CD rot. Now, again, you know, I would have never guessed that CDs could rot, but again, that's I think that's important, particularly to counter some of the arguments. Let's face it, some of the salespeople for some of the newer technologies are extremely persuasive, and the people they're able to persuade most are local government officials. So this helps counter that and say, okay, there's nothing wrong with the new technology, but you need to know. It's not fails. I mean, there are problems with it.
Yeah. And there are probably personal examples that could be cited as well. You know, people have gone into secondhand CD shops and bought music CDs, but the surface is separating from the base, and they're totally unusable. You know, how many of us have found a diskette in our drawer and popped it in, and it's unreadable?
Yeah.
The really old-timers can hearken back to the old example of 8-track tapes. So there's a lot of personal examples that can be used as well. Improper storage and neglect is probably one of the biggest factors in inadvertent destruction of local records. And that's the easiest thing to do. You just put them in a room and forget about them.
Well, and remember, most local governments have a room, a closet or something, and they only tend to deal with them when the room becomes too full, too crowded, the fire marshal comes in, or they really, really need the space for something else. Then they'll start thinking about dealing with it. But, you know, there are some really simple things. You know, we can always start with what's the easiest to do and give them those pointers first.
Yeah. And, you know, reminding them that it's easier to find your current records if you don't have to sift through this mountain of old records. And in Wisconsin, if you get an open records request, as long as those records are around, you have to find them. So even though, let's say that this pile includes tax rolls from 20 years ago, even though the county needs to keep them only 15 years, they still have those old ones there. And if they get an open records request, they have to find that record. So reminding them that if you clean this up, it'll be much, you know, it's a big project to start out with. Maybe for, you know, half a year, just focus on doing that. But once they do that, then it'll be easier down the road.
Again, there's a place for you to insert as many of your local disasters, as much as you think your audience can tolerate. But this is one spot. So we've highlighted this page just to remind you, and then you can take that one out and go. This is one of my favorites that I use for my municipal clerks. Again, some of the very simplest things can make an impact on these records that are going to be kept for a long time, particularly for municipal clerks, because they are creating permanent records today. They're having council meetings. They're preparing minutes from them. They're doing their maps are being prepared. So just understanding that the average office supply that is so effective in working in their day-to-day life can have a serious consequence 50 to 100 years from now if it's used improperly on records. So it's just kind of an example of what can happen. I think it's important sometimes to pull good quotes, because I think that sometimes resonates with people too. And this is a good one I like about archivists, likening them to mechanics. Everybody understands what happens when their car breaks down, and it's thank God for the mechanic that can fix it. Well, when the record system breaks down, who do they have to come to sometimes? Us. But we have to remember to remind them that they came to us when things get good again, because they're going to forget. Another good quote about neglect, this concept of, electronic records in the digital age is fabulous for a lot of things, but what's that mean if in years from now we can access records from the Civil War, but the things from the 1990s, 2000, 2010 are gone? So technology is changing, but we have to think about how we're going to capture and preserve certain things so that in the future those records are available to people. This is another slide I just insert just to kind of give people an idea. It starts with stone tablets. Okay, we know those are good for 2,000 years. And works our way up to modern CD technology, which it's improving, but it still hasn't been around all that long. And, you need to use some care. I use this as when I start making the point to talk to people about perhaps considering hybrid systems, taking your records and doing two different things with them, perhaps microfilming for preservation and digitizing or imaging for access.
And often vendors don't mention that part of it.
No.
That, it's always digitize, that there are hybrid systems where you can do both. So local officials really need to educate themselves about their records, since they are the ones who are responsible for them.
Of course, then you always have the problems of technology in general, power failure and hacking that can take its toll on these records. Again, this is another slide I use just to kind of give them some comparison really quickly about why both microfilm and digitization have benefits, and that there's perhaps a place for both. Oh, I like this one because I have to remind everyone that the largest threat to our records actually are people. And I actually just got another really great horror story from someone. In a Western state, there is a community that has a lot of Western history, and apparently the town officials are rather negligent about taking care of these records. They let their staff give them to their friends. These records are just disappearing. And so, we the keepers and guardians have to, we may have to step up and say, hey, what are you doing? Those are not yours personally to give away. You've got to actually do something. You have to take care of them and preserve them. Unfortunately, it's probably going to take a lawsuit before that actually changes. Okay. Again, this is starting to make the case for some of the other points about democracy and your legacy and things like that. Oh, another good quote. It goes on talking about the importance of records, and you're thinking, yeah, that's pretty good. Okay, hit the one more time. What's more important is this was Thomas Jefferson in 1791. Now, I somehow think it's Freudian that this was a letter to somebody named Hazard. I don't know.
Secure storage for the history of the town. Some nice, neat little boxes on the shelf there with some, looks like some local citizens looking at them. Talks a bit about what archivists do, and archivists just aren't file clerks or, manage inventory in boxes, that we do add value to the records so that they can be used. Reference, and again, telling clerks that, if you have a well-organized archives, that reduces your day-to-day burden, that you and your staff can focus on the day-to-day business, especially in the courts. I mean, there is business is just booming all the time. If you can tell your administration that the staff doesn't have to spend their time digging in all the old records if they're well organized and accessible, we can take care of that part of it. The court staff can concentrate on the walk-ins in traffic and taking care of the day-to-day business. Those of you who have National History Day programs in your states, that's a natural. When National History Day comes up, work with the archivists who run archivists or educators in some states, I believe, wherever your National History Day is administered from, you can work with them to make them aware of the sorts of gems that you have in the collection.
I think the bottom line is that people are fascinated by stories, and we all know that the archives hold lots of stories. So how do we give them enough stories so that they are hooked, so they want to come back and get more from the stories? Again, I mentioned before the thing with tourism. I think that's what this metric study might help us actually document and give us some numbers for, that having those first source documents can actually be a draw, and people will actually come to your community because they can actually see the letter from Billy the Kid to his mom about, "Hi, Mom, I'm in jail," or whatever you happen to have. Again, it's an investment. And we want to stress to the to local governments that it is an investment that will pay off, but that they need to do it.
Well, Lisa, I'm reminded of an example you gave last year about the point of discovery. There was a county with tons of deeds.
Actually, there was a community that had the citizens sued about water rates, and they had retained the little water bills, the little slips where people had paid their water bills. Now, under our retention schedules, that's a 3-year record. They had them back probably 20 years. The cost for the discovery on that was astronomical. And that means, when you can use those kind of cases to people, say, "Hey, look, here's what happened to this community because they kept something too long," we help them weed out the routine records and then help them focus on preserving those records that have a long life. One of the newest tools that is now available is a publication through the National League of Cities, and it's called Protecting Essential Records from Disasters. A lot of our elected officials are disaster-oriented. They hear about them, and they kind of start realizing we should do something. So this particular document actually addresses some really simple, everything from really, really simple. There's a community in there where they're prone to forest fires. So the village clerk actually has little red stickers on the filing cabinets of the essential records. So if they've got to evacuate, Public Works pulls up with a trailer, they load those filing cabinets on, and off they go. Now, it doesn't get much more low-tech than that, so it's real possible to do this without lots of money, and hopefully these kinds of documents coming from other than us can help us get the case. So if you have connections to other organizations, maybe talk to them about a hook about how could we, maybe they're interested in doing something about records or archives. Maybe they would be willing to do a publication or a presentation or something.
At this point, you can plug in your state statutes, laws, and regulations regarding the rules that govern them.
So now we're going to be speeding along.
Yes,
because we just...
Each state, again, may be a little bit different. In Wisconsin, the State Archives, the State Historical Society are one and the same. State Archives takes care of the inactive records. We don't do records management. That's in a different state agency. So you need to customize this for, who they need to call up if they need records management help or advice and how it works in your state. We run through quickly the elements of a good program, some points that that you want to make sure are covered, reference services. If you're running your own archives, adequate resources, qualified personnel.
I just gave a sample listing. Again, you want to break up this whole presentation with examples that are local to you. This just happens to be a listing from my repository. Again, when the local governments maintain it, again, what are the things that they need? And these listings, you can modify these lists, you can expand on the list. If you want to really make a point, take one of those bullets out, create a new slide, and focus on it. And if you take nothing away from this today, I think this is the point that I think is really essential for local governments. Local government officials, the people who are working with these records, do not consider themselves archivists. So every time they see a class that has the word archives or archivist in the title, the first thing they say is, oh, that class does not apply to me, when in fact they are maintaining records of enduring nature. Again, more elements of a good program.
Setting up a contract if the archival records are stored elsewhere, privately funded historical society. Education. The BAT-BASE program?
It's the basics of archives. It's available. You can teach it to just about anybody. And there's the link to it. Go to the next slide. I took it, customized it for municipal clerks, and we taught it as a little 1.5-day workshop called The Accidental Archivist. And what we did was we didn't focus as much on some of the curating as we did about the general recognition and kind of understanding that you had a responsibility to take care of them. So I think you can take this and make it work for you. Then we have a section on how you can help, and whoever the you is that you're talking about. If you're the local government, it gives you some suggestions. And getting the word out. What I did was this is my hometown newspaper. I can tell you it was a slow news day, but I made the front page twice. It's really pretty easy. But, that's the kind of thing, routine exposure. People start hearing about things, then they realize, oh, maybe I should know something about this. Again, more things. Developing the emergency plan. I think that's another important part. I use this slide to make the point with my clerks. If you have permanent records, and all clerks do, municipal clerks, they are in archives. Now, as citizens, we're also hoping that this could be used as you're reaching out to doing citizen presentations. Do this for Kiwanis or Rotary or whatever. So this is where you can put the call to action to them. Some of the ideas that you might do. And again, pictures would help reinforce the point. And there's our sample of Archives Month in New Mexico. And so obviously, if you need to contact us, we will put this out on the SAA website. It's not out there yet, but we will put this presentation out there.
With the script?
The COSA site. So what you need to know is that if you want to use this particular document, the COSA site will have it downloadable and the script will be available, so you can download it, the PowerPoint, customize it to use it as you want. We hope that you will make a use of it throughout and start using it. I will tell you, I have given this to my SHRAB, so if you haven't done that, I would take it back to your SHRAB and do it for them. I did it for the municipal clerks. I did variations of it for my local government officials, and I have not yet learned how to speak local government ease because I haven't quite found the right hook yet, but I'm going to keep trying. So.
And you can make it 10 or 15 minutes or 30 or 40 minutes. It's really adaptable.
We've made it long so that you can shorten it to your need. Mm-hmm. And I love this quote, you can fix anything with money, but nothing brings back the lost records. So now we want to just kind of, do you guys have questions or comments, or we'd like to hear from you.
Do you have any suggestions of techniques, strategies that would be effective in reaching those resource allocators?
Yes.
And the comment there was, just to repeat, was that especially in some states, including Vermont, it's almost better to talk about how first and lessen the emphasis on consequences. That's what's good about this. Adapt it to your situation. Our city manager in Georgia is going to want to hear a lot more about the consequences and not going to care about the how. And maybe that's more the city manager's. So think about who your audience is before, but absolutely, think about your audience. It is great to include a couple of slides, even if they don't much care about the other, to at least mention it. But with some folks, our city manager and our community development people, the consequences work better with them. With somebody like me, the how is much more effective. So,
but that's a great comment because you're already looking at it going, okay, how am I going to use it? That's the first step on this tool, and that's what we want people to be able to do, to say, okay, you know what, part of it I'm not real crazy about, but I really like these parts. So I think that's a great comment. Thank you. Anybody else have any comments? Yes, ma'am.
And the comment there, in case you didn't hear it, was to get to know your local people and to get your local people involved, and that sometimes those local folks caring, and it may take months or years to get something done, but if you can get records moved out of a boxcar in Texas, and one can just guess what the temperature and humidity and such things were. So, yeah, and that's one of those situations that folks from the state archives could come in and talk all day, but if you can get those local people caring and complaining to their elected officials.
And if you will come and talk to Vicki or Jennifer, because they're going to want to get that story. That's a great story. And that actually leads to something. When I was trying to think about how we wanted to talk about this, I mentioned this to Virginia the other day, and I was thinking, you know, I'm having such a hard time getting the local officials to really to find something that just really catches their attention and go, oh my God, we have to do this. That I said, you know what, maybe what we really need is kind of a citizen's bill of rights on records. And that kind of buys into where you started. Your citizens demanded something because they said, this isn't right. You are supposed to be taking care of these records. I noticed in the program there's some things on advocacy for SAA that I think might just really tie in with that. We might want to sit down and talk about that some more. Maybe develop something that say, hey, you're a citizen of the United States. You have the right to know that your government is protecting your records. You have a right to know that this is protected. You have a right, and put it that way. So,
now, other comments?
I just want to interject that another powerful constituency is recent retirees, people who have retired. They're still active. They're looking to volunteer. And I know that public libraries, senior citizen centers, they're always looking for speakers. And it's a natural audience to deliver this message to. And you can marshal an army of these folks to put some pressure, if nothing else, you know, put the pressure on, or even actually do some work for you as volunteers.
Oops. Jennifer.
Oh, that's cool.
And the comment was from Virginia that in the case of when life gives you lemons, they had burnt records that had gotten wet and just clumped and put them into a Lucite box and took them around and showed the example of what happens when disaster hits or neglect hits. And also a great example from South Carolina of having your bags of bad habits with your Post-it notes, and I mean, you can put paper clips in there that are just 2 years old and show how rusty they can get, and with plastic bugs and things. The other thing you can easily do is get your old CDs or your old 3.5 disc and things. So all of those are really pretty easy to do, and that takes this PowerPoint one step further, showing the artifacts, and people will hopefully recognize them even further from their office.
Great. Any other questions, comments? Okay.
I do want to make a comment. The slow thing about, I've been doing local government archives for 26 years now, and we have slow but sure success stories. And we do have right here in Alston a success story of the county archives just getting started. I think you're there. How did it actually get started? You're about 6 months old? And the comment there was about how Travis County in Texas here in Austin is getting started, and you know, they're not to the, say, the polished stage yet, but all of us started somewhere, so it's really exciting. And she also mentioned what great help they're getting from Harris County, Texas, and there's all sorts of people you can call on. So that's going to be the way we're going to win the local government front, is one county at a time and one city. Jennifer. Oh, and great point from our COSA folks here. Don't forget the competitive value of local governments. You know, Travis County is one of the largest counties in Texas, and we're not doing anything with our records. And look what Houston's doing. Look what Dallas is doing. Or, you know, Vermont folks can look at New Hampshire and look how much better they are than us. On the other hand, in the South, we always like to say, thank God for Alabama or thank God for Mississippi. So if you're talking about, you know, the nasty bugs or the records in the boxcars, that's a good time to not be talking about this. It's the way we did it. That's more the way we don't want to do it. Vicki, you want to?
I wanted to say this for the record as well as to all of you. All of this will be wrapped up by the end of November, because that's when our NHPRC money runs out. But some of it is still a work in progress. We're in the process right now of doing a complete overhaul on our website. So some of what we're promising to make available isn't quite there yet. We're also going to finish cleaning up the PowerPoint, getting the photo permissions and all of that, which will take another month or two probably. I have just a plain old piece of paper if you want to put your name and email address down. There's also, you can just send an email to us at info@statearchivist.org. If you want to hear as we're continuing to go through the end of this process.
Also,
yeah, if you want a copy of what we've got so far to use, that'd be just fine. We'd be happy to send it to you. And there is a lot of material on the site already about local government records. It's just, it will be better even than it is now.
Also, if you found the video compelling, we'd recommend the book. We do have the report from part of the report from our task force findings, and you might again find some other interesting nuggets that you can use to support how you want to address this and reach out to people. So,
it's also available as a download.
Yes. All right.
And yeah, the comment there was actually a thank you from the audience from New Jersey for putting this out there. And that's a real key point, is that when you're at a local government setting, or especially when your records in a boxcar and they're a total disaster, you feel like you're totally alone. And there's lots of people out there that care about local governments. It's a huge problem because there's so many darn local governments when you consider all the levels. So definitely don't think you're alone, and don't forget the www.cosa.org. Statearchivist.org. Someday I'll remember that. Give me enough years, y'all will change the site, then I'll remember it. So. Okay.
And I just want to leave this with you. It's been a pause in Gloria's search for organizational excellence.
With this new website, too, we'll have better capabilities to keep you all connected. One of the things that occurred to me is that we could certainly import and store any of your customizations of these PowerPoints, so your other colleagues in other jurisdictions can see what you've done with them. And we could have a whole library full of this stuff by the time we're done. So please stay in touch.
Thank you all. And Melanie Sturgeon, our program representative, says we're out of time. So
thank you, everyone.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, good job, y'all. Good job.